إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we know the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم where he said إنما الأعمال بالنيات أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The hadith in Bukhari narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه where Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the reward of the deed or the result of the deed is based on the niya, on the intention of the deed. Now, one meaning of this, of course, refers to the reward for the deed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him, inshallah. But in this world, this also refers to the results of our efforts. The result of the effort depends on the extent of clarity about the reason you are doing that effort. So, reward of the deed is not only religious and theological in terms of goodness and so on and so on. It's also in terms of the effectiveness of our actions. So, whether it is a business, whether it is a teaching institution, whether it is school, college, madrasa, whatever, whether it's an organization that you are running for whatever purpose, the effect of that organization, the effect of that business, the effect of that teaching institution depends on the level of conceptual clarity about what you want to achieve. So if you go to the head of that business, or even at a family level, if you go to the head of the family and say, you have this family, you have children and so on, what do you want to achieve at the end of this? What do you want them to become? The degree of conceptual clarity with respect to the final result will determine the results of the efforts that are being put in to achieve that result. Now, my experience of a lot of institutions, especially institutions that are run for social causes, is that this degree of conceptual clarity is either completely absent, there is no conceptual clarity, or there is some vague, good intention. The places where conceptual clarity with regard to the final outcome is very clear is commercial businesses. That's the place, because at the end of the day, business must make a profit. If it's not making a profit, it's not a business. So there is, I'm not talking here about, is it a good goal, bad goal, will you go to Jannah, Jahannam? No, I'm talking about the conceptual clarity of your goal. Right? Now, the conceptual clarity of that goal is, in business organizations, comparatively speaking, I think it is at the highest level. But in most teaching institutions, not all, but most teaching institutions, and a great deal more social organizations, this conceptual clarity is either completely absent or it's very vague. The reason I'm saying is that a lot of people listening to this are people engaged in these works. So it is worth your while. And I know those people engaged in these works are sincere people, they are putting in a lot of effort, energy, time and so on. So it is worth your while to sit down and think, what do I want to achieve at the end of this as a result of my effort? So I started an organization, what should this organization achieve? Why are you running this place? For what? What is your final goal? How do you define the final product? What do you want to create? I have actually done this survey with a number of organizations worldwide, and when I'm saying that there is lack of conceptual clarity, that is my actual experience. Obviously, I have not surveyed every school or madrasa or social NGO or whatever, but whoever I met and whoever I asked are completely vague with regard to what they want to achieve. If you ask somebody, why are you running this place? No, we want people to be well-educated. What's the definition of that? What's the meaning of well-educated? Because unless you define, and I'm going back to my business orientation, in a company like GE, If you say well educated or I want to create a good product, people will fall down off their chairs laughing. There's no such thing as a good product. You have to have a specific measurement. What is this good product? How do you define good? And that refers to everything. It refers to service, refers to physical products and so on and so on. And that's the reason why today, if you look at, generally speaking, the most successful organizations in this world are business organizations. Again, I'm not saying they are always, they're all doing the right thing. They're not. They are doing, some of them are doing a lot of evil. But the point is that they are absolutely clear conceptually about what they want to achieve. And that is not true of the others. And reason for my concern is that by and large, especially teaching institutions and NGOs and so on, their intentions are very good. They're not doing it for some selfish interest or just to make money or something. Their intentions are very good. So it was well worth our effort to see that these intentions are actually translated into some measurable results. Because otherwise a huge amount of energy and lot of resources also, if you just take the madaris in this country, if going by Sachar committee report, there are 2 million students in, at the time of the report, there are 2 million students in the madaris in India, right? Just do basic calculation, 1000 rupees per student expenditure per month, right? 1000 per month is practically nothing, but I'm just saying, well, bottom line figures, 2 million into 1000 is 2 billion. 2 billion rupees per month is being spent on the education of madaris children in this country according to Sachar committee report. So this refers to the time of the report. 2 billion rupees per month is being spent on the education of children in madaris. Obviously Sachar committee did not take into account every single madrasa in every street, so he's talking about whoever they serve it, so all the major ones. Now think about it, is that serious money or not? 2 billion rupees. And where is it coming from? You can bet your life every single rupee of that is coming from the Muslim community only. There is no government funding, there is no, you know, something coming from some. It's the Muslim community, and the Muslim community in this country is the poorest of the poor. So barring some funding from abroad, which is a very small minority, some big institutions get it, otherwise most of them there is no funding from abroad. So it's the Indian Muslims who are contributing this huge amount. We like to say Indian Muslims don't spend money on education. That's nonsense. They're spending a huge amount of money. They are probably as a community spending more money than anybody else. 2 billion rupees on the education of children in madaris is being spent by the poorest community. At the end of that, you say, what is the result? What are we producing? I'm spending 2 billion rupees a month. What is the result? You know the answer, I know the answer. And that's not because people are not making effort. That's not because people are stupid. It's not because people, are not putting in the money. All of that is happening. My contention is, it is not happening because there is no conceptual clarity. You don't know what you want to achieve. This course we just did in for the ulama, we had 50 ulama who came for the course. Alhamdulillah, it went off well. One of the teachers from Aligarh, he had come, Fahim Siddiqui. So Fahim Sahib said ke madarse ko palne ko jaate hain, padne ko nahi jaate. Now it sounds like a cruel kind of a comment, but the point is that by and large that is true, and the reason why it's true because very poor people go. So one of the objectives is that these poor children should be taken care of, so they should be fed and so on and so on. It's not a bad objective. I'm not saying don't do that. Of course, if what will happen if you have to do something? But is that an objective enough? If you are spending 2 billion rupees on something, is that an objective enough? So what must be done? Again, long stories, I won't go into that. But just to stay with the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the reward of the deed. And to give you a very small snapshot, one of my permanent grouses is the way the Quran is taught. And the way Quran is taught, especially in Hifz, is there is absolutely not even an effort to teach the language, Arabic, so that the person doing hifz can understand what he is reading. There's no, it's not even part of the curriculum. So the way we teach hifz is we just memorize. So effectively you are memorizing the sounds of the letters. And that's it. The person has absolutely no, it's like saying sare gama pa dha ni sa, that's what. But we say, what does it mean? I don't know. And that's exactly how Quran is taught and how it is memorized. So there's no actual teaching of the Quran in terms of understanding meaning and so on. So, and that's my permanent grasp. Now, I always make sure that I say this, because at least let it go into the minds and thoughts of people that we should teach the Quran the way the Quran is meant to be taught, which is to think about it and reflect on it. By definition, you cannot think about something you don't understand. It's a, you know, oxymoronic thing to imagine that you can actually reflect on something that you don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَخْفَالُهَا. He said, do they not think and reflect on the Quran, or is it that their hearts are sealed? They have locks on the hearts. So, I always make this point. And I always get the same answer, which I got here also. And the answer is, no, wo Quran padhne to sawab hota hai. Bagair samajh ke padhne mein bhi sawab hota hai. So even if you don't understand the Quran and read, you will still get sawab. My point is, I'm not talking about sawab. Did I say you will not get sawab? Even to look at the Quran with aqidat, saying this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is sawab. Allah will reward you, inshallah. So if somebody says, I look at the Quran every day. If you ask the person, are you, you know, do you, what is your treatment of the Quran? What's your connection? I the Quran roz dekhta hun. Badi aqidat se dekhta hun. To kafi hai? So ask this question also. It's a jinnah jayab. So jinnah to kifir kaya. My point is, here you are in a madrasa which is supposed to be for the purpose of teaching Quran, and you teach the Quran without meaning. So standard answer again, if we teach the meaning, they cannot memorize. Now that is absolute nonsense, because then I said, how do the Arabs memorize? How did the Sahaba memorize? So that's a completely nonsensical answer. The whole issue is two things that they have done. One is that they have loaded on themselves the issue that the person must memorize the whole Quran in 2 years. And if he cannot complete in 2 years, you check him out. He's not capable. I said, who told you 2 years? Kaise se aapko? Allah Taala ne bola ki do saal mein hifz karna lazim hai. 3 saal lene do, 4 saal lene do, 5 saal, kya farak padta hai? The point is that the person must understand what they are saying. Only then will the purpose of the nuzul of the Quran be achieved, which is that people must reflect on it and they must bring it into their lives. So you have loaded onto yourself a useless parameter, and then now the whole work is meaningless because of this. Now all of this, why? It's not that the people are evil or stupid or whatever. It's just lack of conceptual clarity about the goal. So if you want to sit down and say, why am I teaching Quran? Ask yourself this question, why am I teaching Quran? Answer the question and then teach in a way to achieve that. So if you are saying here, I am teaching the Quran so that the person will learn the sound of the letters and will not understand the meaning, this is my purpose, alhamdulillah, no problem. What you are doing is fine. At least do it with that conceptual clarity. If you say, no, this makes no sense, I am teaching the Quran so that the person will understand and implement in his life, then you have to change the way you are teaching. I am giving you this as an example because we are all familiar with this. But this applies across the board, whether you are running schools, NGOs, welfare organizations, business organizations, whatever. It applies across the board. Conceptual clarity about the goal is the only way of achieving results. And this, according to me, is the meaning of innamal amalu bin niyat. Reward with Allah, alhamdulillah, inshallah, is there. I am talking about the result of the action in this world. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحم الله.